There are certain things you learn about being a woman without anyone ever formally sitting you down and teaching you. You just absorb them. You learn that a good girl is supposed to be modest, that a respectable woman has to behave a certain way, that you should look good but not look like you're trying too hard, that you should take care of yourself, but somehow taking care of yourself mostly means your hair, your skin, your body, your clothes. And then somewhere along the way, you realize, who actually wrote these rules? Who decided what makes a woman respectable? Who decided what makes her beautiful? Who decided how much of herself she's allowed to express? And perhaps more importantly, why did we accept so many of these rules without questioning them? Welcome to Womanhood 102. Class is in session. Wagwan, 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 what's up, what's up, what's up? How are you? How are you feeling? Are you feeling Gucci? Because I'm on a roll. I hope you're doing well. Welcome to another amazing episode of the Unspoken Podcast. My name is Amira Awiti, the host of this amazing podcast, and this is episode 170, bro. Road to 200 episodes, bro. I'm literally 30 episodes away, and 30 episodes is insane work. Like, man, I feel like I've been lagging this year. I'm supposed to be like on episode 180. Road to 200 episodes. I need to get to 200 episodes before the end of the year. So I need y'all to send me your unspoken stories. But shout out to everyone, man. I need to say this. Shout out to everyone who's sent in their interest in being part of our series. Called What's Your Unspoken Story. I see I've seen all the Google forms, and I'm trying to reply to all of them. Shout out to you, man. Shout out to you. I can't wait to just document all these stories. I'm so excited. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Anyway, if you're still interested, I always leave the link to the Google forms on every description box of every episode. You're gonna find it, or you can find it on our Instagram page, Unspoken Pod KE. Yeah, anyway, Wagwan, what's up? Let's dive straight into the episode. Okay, from the snippet, you already know what you're talking about. Class is in session. Today we're going to school. We're going to the school of let me think of a name for this school of ours. Because it's a school where we teach women on how to be women. It's Womanhood 102. If you an avid speaker, you know Womanhood 101 dropped earlier this year. On Women's Day. You know, I'm passionate about women. I'm a girl's girl. I don't care how people shame people who claim to be girls' girls. Fuck y'all. Me, I'm a girl's girl. I'm ready to die on that hill. I'm a fucking feminist. I don't care how people bash feminists. Fuck y'all. I'll always be a feminist. I'll always be a girl's girl. So this is Womanhood 102. I'm thinking of a name. Think of a name. Let's think of a name. How are we going to call this school of ours? The school of... School of War, because this is our second class. Anyway, welcome to this episode where we are going to be unlearning the rules we were given about being a woman. Because, baby, the society. I feel like when it comes to the society, when it comes to stereotypes, when it just comes to general existing, I feel like women, we got the raw side of the deal. What's that word? We got the raw side of the deal, man. Like, man, there are a lot of things we have to unlearn as women, because if you ukijeka na vitu za society, ukijeka kwenda na vitu society na kuambia, ukijeka ati unafuata society, unafuata stereotypes, you're lost. You're going to utapotea, man. So that's why we have to have these platforms to unlearn the roles we were given about being women. Because first question is, who taught us how to be women? Were we even, okay, we were taught, no, we were not taught how to be women. We were actually taught how to be wise. That's what society keeps telling us. Oh, as a woman, you need to, oh, please, please. Because actually, you need to ask yourself, what does womanhood actually mean to you as a woman? What does it mean to you? You have to define your own womanhood. That's the first step. Define womanhood according to you, what it means to you. Not what society says it means. Not what your parents, your mom says it means. Not what social media, bruh. Social media will be the end of us as women. Social media, oh, social media will be the end of us. The way social media perceives women, the way social media pressures women on how they're supposed to look, how they're supposed to behave. It's crazy. So the first step, you need to define what womanhood actually means to you. That's the first thing. Okay, now I have like 4 points that I want us to debunk when it comes to womanhood. You get what I'm saying? The first point is purity culture. Purity culture. Because I've been questioning purity culture for some time now. And why it even exists and why it's only directed to women. I've ever had men practicing purity culture. I've even ever had men being told they should be pure. They should keep themselves until marriage, keep themselves for their wives. Never. It's always women. We are told you need to wait till marriage because that's what purity culture means. Yeah, that's what purity culture means. It means, in quotes, and I say this in quotes, it means waiting until marriage. The idea that a woman's sexual choices determine whether she is good, respectable, or worthy doesn't sit right with me. Because why are women often given the responsibility of controlling men's behavior through their clothing, sexuality, and boundaries? I mean, when women, of course, we've seen a lot of cases, especially a lot of sexual assault cases, rape cases, where the women are always being blamed. Like, how did you dress in this way? That you're the one who brought this on yourself because you dressed skimpily. You are skimpily dressed. Like, what the hell? That is double standards. Why are we normalizing? Why has the society normalized that? Why do we have double standards between male and female sexuality? We need to question that. Why do we have double standards between male and female sexuality? Even the language used against women is not right. It's not right. I mean, when you're a woman and you meet this guy, you give it up on the first night, you're called loose. And I say all this with quotes. And you're called loose. Or when you're a woman and you've had, let me say this, you've had, you and when you're a woman and you have like several sexual partners, they call you loose, damaged, mileage, something. There's something Kenyans say, ati shimo, ati wesa ni shimo, ati we umekwa shimo kubwa. What the hell? And it's always the women. It's always women. They call you used. You're not wife material. And why is it wife material? I've never had something like husband material. It's always wife material. It's always, is she a wife material? We should start asking, is he a husband material? Because purity culture can create shame around sexuality, even when someone is simply trying to understand their own body and feelings. And I feel like this purity culture has caused a lot of women, when it comes to understanding their body, their feelings. A lot of women don't actually understand their body. I'm in my late 20s. I'm actually 28. I'll say late 20s still when I'm fucking 28. And being in your late 20s is actually so different, guys. The girl I used to be in my early 20s and in my mid 20s and the girl that I am now in my late 20s, those are three different girls. Those are three different stages. My body has, like, bruh. I feel like when I was in my early 20s, when I was at mid 20s, early 20s, especially early 20s, I didn't really understand my body. I didn't even really take the time to understand my body. I just used to have sex because people are having sex. Because, yeah, sex was there. Yeah, I was free. I could do whatever I want. But now, looking at it, I'm 28 now. And I'm like, I need to start understanding my body. I'm actually starting to understand my body. I know what I like and what I don't like when it comes to sex. And that is what purity culture has cost a lot of women. A lot of women don't take the time to understand their own body and feelings. A lot of women don't know how to express themselves when they're in the bedroom. A lot of women tend to shy away when they're in the bedroom. They let the men, a lot, not all women. Hey, because, hey, nowadays there are a lot of women out there who take control, and I love that. So, but it's a lot still. A lot of women are scared of expressing themselves in the bedroom, saying what they want. Because let me tell you something. You know, I'm speaking as a woman. I feel like women's sex drive is actually higher than men. Bruh. A horny woman is a dangerous woman. Don't play with a horny woman, man. Don't. People say, men, when they're horny, they can't control this. Women, we can control ourselves, but a horny woman is a dangerous woman. Especially, I feel like, I've been reading and I found out that there's a certain age where a woman gets and her sexual drive is insane. And before you get there, you have to actually understand your body. You have to actually understand what you like, what turns you on, what makes you reach your climax. Because let me say, also Richard says that, research, not me, research says that 90% of women barely have an orgasm from penetration. And that is crazy. That is insane. And I'm one of those women. Unashamedly, I am one of those women. And I feel like this is majorly because of purity culture, and also because we don't understand our bodies. We don't understand our sexual boundaries. We don't understand our fantasies. We don't know what we like as women. So, you need to know your body as a woman. Know your body. Know your boundaries too. Very important. Know your sexual boundaries. Don't be out there lying and just letting the man do whatever they want because you want to please the man and you don't actually like what they're doing. Know your sexual boundaries. Know your body. Know your sexual boundaries. Know what you like. Know what turns you on. Know what makes you reach the climax. Know what makes you have an orgasm. Because, bruh, having good sex makes you look younger. You don't even need to have a skincare routine once you're having good sex. It's true. Sex is spiritual. Do people even know that? Sex is very spiritual. Very. It's very spiritual. It's deeper. It's very deeper. Especially, so you have to actually choose your sexual partners very carefully, because having sex with someone is like transferring energy. It's transferring energy. So explore yourself as a woman. Fuck purity culture. Explore yourself as a woman. Explore your likes and your dislikes. Explore your fantasies. Bruh. Explore your fantasies. Experience them, man. Don't hold yourself. Have the best sex you can when you can, bro. Because there's a time you feel like there's a point you reach and you're like, of course. You know, as women, we have different faces. We have the follicular face. We have the luteal face. And those faces are different. They affect our hormones. They affect our behaviors. They affect our moods. So when you're in that phase, especially the ovulating phase, that phase when you're horny, when you want to have good sex, Take advantage of that opportunity. Don't shy away from expressing yourself sexually, because I know society tells a lot of women, because fear and shame can prevent a lot of women from asking questions, communicating their boundaries, or seeking accurate information. And purity culture affects our sexual lives more than we even know. Purity culture affects our lives as women more than we acknowledge. First is shame. Shame makes it difficult for us to talk openly about our bodies, our relationships, our boundaries, our sexual health. Some women grow up knowing that they're not supposed to do this, but they're never taught how to make informed decisions. We're just told, you're not supposed to do this. Hey, once this happens, no, you're not. What about what we're supposed to do? What about what we're supposed to do? I feel like purity culture comes from fear-based education. It's all about what we're not supposed to do. What about comprehensive education? What about, okay, this is what you are supposed to do. This. If you want to get here, do this. If you like this, do this. How about comprehensive education? And I feel like women and our bodies and education. That's why I need a name for this school, because this is a school, bruh. I need a name. This is a masterclass. This is something we need to talk about. I feel like women's bodies, women's health, women's sexual lives is barely talked about as much as it's supposed to. Yeah, we have talked about reproductive health, STIs, contraceptives. It's all contraceptives. It's only recently that I've seen that they've started developing male contraceptives. Ask yourself that question. Why, ever since, why did they start with female contraceptives? Those are things we need to question. Why did they start making female contraceptives? Why are they only making male contraceptives now? And I don't even think they've been released. It's still being tested by scientists. Why do women have to always carry the burden? And yet we are the ones who have to suffer. We are the ones who have to have values that align with being a good woman. But and at the end of the day, we are still the ones who get the raw end of the deal. We are still the ones who get it. Because when it comes to contraceptives, and it's hormonal contraceptives. Honestly, if there's one thing I'm against, especially for women, it's hormonal contraceptives, bro. I don't advocate for hormonal contraceptives. Hell nah. Why? Because, you know, hormones are a huge part of a woman's body or health. Hormones affect everything. Women's hormones affect everything. Once you tamper with women's hormones, you've tampered with their entire body. It affects the moods. It affects creativity. It affects skin, our skin, bruh. So we should educate. And I feel like every woman should take this upon themselves. Don't wait on society. Don't wait on I don't know who organizations. Take it as a point to yourself to know about your body, to understand your body. And I'm still working on it. There's a series actually I want to do. Actually, this is the beginning of the series. Actually, Womanhood 101 was like episode one, where we were talking about, you need to actually listen to that episode if you haven't. I released it on Women's Day. It was talking about things we need to decentralize as women. Things we need to deconstruct. We started by deconstructing social beliefs, deconstructing stereotypes as women. So start from there. We deconstructed those beliefs that the society put on us. So now we're understanding our bodies as women. So this is Womanhood 102. So this is going to be a series. Maybe in the future, I'm going to try and bring experts. It's going to be a long series because, man, being a woman is a chore. It's a job, bro. It's actually a fucking chore. It's not easy. And understanding yourself, understanding your body, something you need to sit down, take time to understand yourself and your body and what you like. Because there's a difference, actually. There's a difference between sexual freedom and sexual pressure. Are you having sex? Like I said, when I was in my 20s, I was just having sex because out of pressure, because yeah, sex was there. I was free. I could have it. Men were coming, making advances at me. So what the hell? Why not? Sexual pressure. But what about sexual freedom? Having sex when you really want to have sex. having sex when you're in the mood, when you want, having sex for pleasure. Having sex for pleasure. Nowadays, I feel like people rarely have sex for pleasure. Sex is more transactional. Sex is all about the man. Not all, okay, not all, but mostly. What about sexual freedom? Sexual pleasure? Because a woman doesn't become more empowered simply because she's sexually active, and she doesn't become less empowered because she isn't. The goal should be agency, making informed choices for yourself. Making informed, underline informed, informed. That's why you need to understand yourself. Take time. Know what you like. Because sex is a journey of self-discovery. Sex is a journey of self-discovery. And nowadays I see, social media is crazy. I see people on social media saying that women, instead of dating, okay, date, but have multiple lovers. Dating, yes, have multiple lovers. I'm starting to think it's not actually a bad idea. Having multiple lovers as women is not so bad. Having multiple lovers is like a journey to self-discovery. That's if you are not ready for a relationship. Okay, of course, if you're not ready for a relationship. But having, of course, and no, that's where now knowing your body comes in. That kind of protection that works for you. But don't use hormonal contraceptives, guys. I'm against that. Do your research. I'm talking this from a point of research and from someone who has actually tried them and my body. I think my body has never been the same. Yeah. So sex is a journey of self-discovery. Sex is a journey of self-discovery. And this is the time for you to explore your body, man. What the hell? Like I said, fuck purity culture. This is the time for us to explore our bodies. I saw someone tweet that I'm not wasting my best boobies as hiding my boobies. I'm not wasting my best boob, because there's a time when there's an age where your boobs just zinalala, they are flat. So when you feel good about yourself, your body, don't waste that. Explore yourself. Explore your body. Love yourself. Love your body. Flaunt yourself. Flaunt your. Be proud of yourself. Understand. Have good sex, man. Today I'm advocating have good sex. Have good and safe sex. Underline that. Have good and safe sex. Because who said sex only stops when the man finishes? Like, you see, when I say women, we always get the raw end of the deal. Like, who said sex should stop when the man climaxes? Who said that? What about us and our climax? No one cares about us. What about us? When are we finishing? You've reached the finishing line. What about me? I need to finish too. I also want to get there. So who said sex only ends when the man finishes? What about me? What about me and my needs? What about my sexual needs? Actually, another thing, as a woman, you should know your sexual needs. You should understand your sexual needs and what you need to satisfy them. Gone are the days where we only cared about satisfying men's sexual needs. What about our sexual needs? That's why unlearn shame, guys. Like, hey, are we still shameful in this podcast? Because we literally unlearned shame a long time ago on this pod, bro. If you're still shameful and you listen to my pod, you're letting me down, sis. You're letting me down, sis. Okay? So, yeah. Be more expressive, explore yourself, know what you like, explore yourself. And I don't know how that looks like for you. That may look different for some people. So whatever works for you, as long as it's safe, right? As long as it doesn't affect your body in any way. Okay, right? Anyway, second point. Womanhood 102, second point. Critical thinking. Critical thinking, which I think is the most rebellious thing a woman can do. The most rebellious thing a woman can do is think. Because women are often socialized to prioritize being agreeable. Good girls don't question. Good girls don't get the corner office. I need to read that book. I need to get my hands on that book because now I'm starting to understand that title. Because why do you think that questioning traditions automatically means disrespecting them? No, I might question traditions, but that doesn't mean I automatically disrespect them. It's good to question things. Learn to ask, who benefits from this role? Where did this belief come from? Is it actually true? Does it apply equally to everyone? And what happens if I disagree? Nowadays, by the way, I'm one person who questions everything. I question everything until there was a friend of mine was telling me that I have OCD. I have OCD for questioning things. I have OCD for being confrontational. One thing I've learned is that a lot of men don't like confrontational ladies, bruh. They don't like ladies who question everything. They feel insecure, bro. They feel insecure. So I'm now a Ibia City. Let me share with you a secret, girlies. Be a critical thinker. In fact, that is one of the best skills you can have as a girl, as a woman. Critical thinking, bro. It will save you from a lot because you'll be questioning a lot of things, and people are actually intimidated when they see someone who questions everything. They're like, okay, this person is kind of smart. They're intimidated because people are used to not asking questions. People are used to having people who don't question things. They just move with vibes and inshallah. Hell no. Gone are the days when we used to move with good, especially when it comes to relationships. Gone are the days when we used to move with good vibes and inshallah. As a grown-up woman, no. Start questioning things, beliefs. So I was questioning. I'm a confrontational person, actually. I'm an overthinker, but a confrontational person and I'm a critical thinker. I'll ask, why did you behave like this? I actually notice smallest things, the energy shifts, weird behaviors, someone pretending. So I question things. I confront people. By the way, one thing about me, I confront you. And when I confront you, know that I care about you. Because when I sit silent, that means I don't give a fuck. When I don't talk about something, that means I don't care. But when I confront you, when I confront something, that means I actually care deeply. So, and some people, especially men, they find it intimidating. They're like, ha, they tell me, hey, I have OCD, you have OCD, you have OCD. No, you're just an overthinker. No, you just, please, bro, answer the question. So the most rebellious thing a woman can do is think. Think, put your mind to work. Don't just move with good vibes and inshallah. No, ask questions. Ask the right questions. Why is this working like this? Does it apply equally to everyone? Is it actually true? What happens if I disagree? Because being able to change your mind and receive better information is good. It's good. So question things. That's where the difference comes in between intelligence versus wisdom. You might be literate, but you are not intelligent. You might be well-learned, yeah, but you're not. That doesn't automatically make you intelligent. I met a lot of people who are literate, well-learned, have masters, but brah, they ain't intelligent. So critical thinking, that is one of the best skills. Achana tana AI kwanza. Work on being a critical thinker. It will save you from a lot. Now critical thinking goes well with empathy. It goes together with empathy because critical thinking is questioning everything and putting yourself in others' POV. It needs empathy. You need to be empathetic. I've talked about this on the pod a lot of times. You need to be empathetic. Hmm. Especially, I don't like people say, hey, when you're trying to talk about, when you're, by the way, I'm one person who, like, I love talking about deep topics. I can turn, like, a random normal topic into a very deep topic until someone tells me, oh, it's not that deep, bruh. It is. It is that deep. It is that deep. Everything is deep. Maturing is realizing that everything is actually deep and open to interpretation. If you just sit down and interpret a certain thing, you're going to discover layers, 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 layers. Everything is that deep. Okay, number three, maintenance culture. My, oh my, I got a lot to say about this. I have a lot to say about this. Maintenance culture will be the death of us as women. It will be the death of us. Maintenance, maintenance, maintenance. First of all, let's talk about what maintenance means to most women. To most women, maintenance looks like, and most men, I'm including myself. I'm not just bashing other, I'm including myself. Maintenance to most women means hair. Especially they call it the big three. We call it the big three actually. Hair, nails, lashes. That's the big three. Once you have the big three done, the world is your oyster. You're untouchable. So hair, skin, nails, lashes. I don't know what. Nowadays, it's not even, there's big three and then there's the others. Nowadays, people actually go for waxing every month. I don't know, laser removal. Hey, maintenance is expensive. Are those things that are expensive? I don't know, hair removal, laser hair removal, hey, waxing, what else? There's body contouring. Hey, it's a lot. That is what the society is calling maintenance for women. That is what most women call maintenance. Let's just start from the word maintenance. Are we cars? I know cars are the things that need to be maintained. So are we cars, women? Are we cars? We need to ask ourselves that. Are we cars that we need to be maintained every month? And the worst thing is that this maintenance is only outside, physical. This maintenance only has to do with beauty. What about health? Maintenance is really about dental health. Like I've actually talked about women's health right now and women understanding their bodies. How about maintenance being about you getting a health checkup as a woman? How about maintenance being about dental health? How about maintenance being about mental well-being? How about maintenance looking like sexual and reproductive health education? How about maintenance looking like nutrition, financial health, emotional well-being? Having good sleep, rest. Because instead of promoting healthy bodies, we are busy promoting beautiful bodies. And health is the greatest wealth, duh. So before we start maintaining our outside, before we start maintaining beauty, before we start caring about how we look on the outside, how about we start on the inside? Because why are women encouraged to maintain their appearance more aggressively than they are encouraged to maintain their bodies? Especially when you get to the late 20s like me, when you're 28, you're heading to your 30s. That's when you start being curious about your body, your health, your sexual health, your reproductive health. You have to be curious about such things. When you get at a certain age, you have to be curious about such things. You have to go for regular checkups. That should be, that is in fact, should be the first maintenance. And honestly, most of these checkups are free. Most of these checkups are absolutely free in these clinics and hospitals. But hair is expensive, bro. Hair is literally the cheapest hair. The cheapest I can do my hair is like 2K, 2000. The cheapest, that's the bare minimum. Let's not even talk about lashes. Let's not talk about nails. We have not even talked about laser hair removal, I don't know, wax. Those things are hella expensive and people have to do them every month. Women actually do these things every month because that is maintenance. Every month you have to go for your maintenance. It's hella expensive. How about every month You go for a health checkup. How about every month you educate yourself on sexual and reproductive health? How about every month you check on your mental well-being? You should normalize that. You should normalize that. That should be the maintenance culture we normalize, not beauty on the outside. So how about that? Another thing, the fourth point, my last point, beauty maxing. I know I've heard about this term, especially on TikTok. Beauty maxing. Maximize your beauty. Eh? Maximize your beauty. But what happens when self-improvement becomes self-surveillance? That is the modern question. What happens when self-improvement becomes self-surveillance? What is beauty maxing first? According to social media, according to online culture, beauty maxing is systematically trying to optimize one's appearance. There, we've seen the rise of facial analysis. Bruh, I'm telling you, skincare is expensive. Skin, everything to do with beauty, and oh, it's hella expensive. We've seen the rise of facial analysis, glow-ups, beauty scores, routines, hacks. Oh, it's a lot. I don't know, skincare hack. I don't know, morning routine, night routine. Ah, no, don't get me wrong. Skincare routine. Skincare is very important. But when does taking care of yourself become obsessing over every perceived flaw? Because beauty maxing, according to social media, it's just constantly reminding women that they're supposed to be fixing something about themselves. Argue with the world. That's what beauty maxing is. It's constantly showing women what supposedly needs fixing. That's what beauty maxing is. It's about, hey, you need to fix your teeth. No, your hair. Start with the hair. No, your body, your facial features. Now women are turning their face, their body into an endless project. And one thing about beauty standards, they keep on changing. Today, the BBLs. Tomorrow, they like slim, thick. The next day, they like bald. Beauty standards keep changing every day. You'll never catch up as a woman. You will never catch up. That's why I say the first thing, understand your body. First lesson of womanhood. What does it actually mean to you? Understand your body. Understand yourself. When you understand yourself, when you understand your body, what works for you, how good you look when you do something, you don't have to be swayed by all these things promoted by social media. Because for me, I see beauty as a form of creativity. I see beauty as a form of self-expression without it becoming a measure of personal worth. It's a form of creativity because we look different. That's why I say this all the time. Your uniqueness is your superpower. People don't understand that. Your uniqueness is actually your superpower, bro. Don't try to be like everyone else. Don't try to look like everyone else. Okay, now people are getting BBLs. I need to get my BBL. Those things, you actually need to understand, we all have different bone structures. So someone might look good when they get a BBL, but you might look different. Or you see someone wearing a certain type of outfit, you're like, yeah, I need to get that same exact outfit in that same exact color. And you get it, you spend a lot, you ship it all the way from. Hey, we men. You ship the cloth all the way from Amazon, I don't know, Shein, hey, and fashion. And then, after paying all those shipping expenses, you don't even look good in the outfit. Hey, it's so crazy, bro. Some things are funny, bro. That's why you have to understand your body, understand yourself, understand you. What works for you, man? Because if you keep following these things on social media, beauty max, beauty standards, you're actually on the wrong path, darling. These trends come and go. Trends can convince women that normal human features are problems requiring solutions, which is terrible, which is dangerous. Sometimes your features are just okay. Mm-hmm. beauty doesn't have to be about self-surveillance. You keep checking yourself. No, I need to look perfect. Nah. One thing I've learned, by the way, let me give you guys a free tip when it comes to beauty. One thing I've learned as a woman is that women, we will always be objectified. No matter what you do, no matter where you go in this entire world, as a woman, you will always be objectified. And you have to make peace with that. I've actually made peace with that. As women, we will always be objectified. So you're there trying to make yourself look perfect. Yeah, no, I want to be the perfect woman. I want to have the perfect body, the perfect skin, the perfect features. You will still be objectified, my friend. You will still be objectified. You will still catch strays. I saw something funny today on Instagram. Some lady was saying that that most men look ugly when they are naked. Hey, bro, I'm tired. That you men, most of you look very ugly when you're naked, and you all are busy. You're busy here bashing women, trying to objectify us, body shaming us. How about you guys? So you see, women will always be objectified, no matter what you do. So learn your body, learn to love your body. Know what works for you. When I say, when you learn your body, when you know your body, now you'll know how to dress your body. Yeah, you know what works for you, what doesn't work for you. Makeup tips, the thing you work for you. The hairstyle that works for you. The makeup that works for you. The type of makeup that works for you. Just know yourself as a woman. Learn your body. Understand your body. Understand how to express yourself confidently. So we need to redefine maintenance. This is a wake-up call to all women. We need to redefine maintenance. Let's change beauty maintenance with health maintenance. Let's start with health maintenance first, then go to beauty maintenance. Let's go from I want to look good to I want to feel good. I want to function well. I want to take care of the body I live in. Neither has to cancel the other. Don't get me wrong. Neither has to cancel the other. They're both very important. Health maintenance, beauty maintenance, they go hand in hand. Actually, you know, skincare starts from what you take, what goes in your body. Not even all the serums and the acids, the hydrolog. Skincare, good skincare starts from what you put in your body, what you take. So we need to redefine maintenance. Let's start with health, then go to beauty. Let's prioritize health. Let's prioritize emotional well-being. Because the issue isn't enjoying beauty. The issue is actually being taught that beauty is the primary evidence that a woman is taking care of herself. Nah. What about health, health-wise? What about our health? So, as I finish, ask yourself, who am I when nobody's looking? Because purity culture says your value is determined by how you behave sexually. Beauty culture says your value is determined by how you look. Critical thinking asks, but who decided that? Who decided that? And that's really the heart of womanhood. Hands on.